to meet Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Well, you're much sweeter on air to me than you are off air.
You are annoying me. She's annoying me.
Because I know all your stories. That's
she's annoying me, Liz. I start to tell one of my incredibly funny stories, and she talks all over
I've heard them all. But the thing is...
You've gone blonde.
I know.
Well, why have you gone blonde?
I have to.
Why?
Because I'm at a certain age where the greys have taken over. And to be honest, it just took over my whole life when I was... My natural colour is a brunette, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got ridiculous. I was like, every 2 weeks I was having to do my greys. So I decided... Well, I went to my lovely hairdresser.
Hold on. Your hair goes grey if you're a brunette, but it doesn't go grey if you're a blonde.
No, when you're a blonde, your greys don't show in the same way that if you're dark, it's like you're beamed up in your parting.
Like a badger. Yeah, okay.
let's get set to it.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
But you get a little stripe, don't you? Right. So I went to... I was having it done locally, and I wasn't very happy with it, so I went to the lovely... they're beautiful. They're Supernatural... Hair and beauty. Supernatural. Yeah.
Were they witches?
They're little Australians, darling. Theodore and Manny.
Right.
And they're a couple.
Right.
And they do amazing hair. And all of their products, everything is 99% organic. There's no awful hairspray that makes you choke when they do it. And
they made your hair blonde with mud.
They've done it very, very gently over the month. So you've only just noticed that I've been going to them for a year, just doing it gradually.
I just thought you were going grey.
Yeah. No, it's not grey, it's blonde, it's a number 8. Lucy will tell you, because Lucy's blonde.
But she's not blonde.
She's blonde. You're blonde, aren't you, darling?
My ends are blonde.
Your ends. That's balayage, isn't it?
It's
balayage, darling. She has balayage. You have to set, like, a, you know, balayage. That's her hair.
You've lost me completely now.
She's got balayage.
She's not...
Dark roots and blonde ends.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
Balayage.
Her hair was down her back. I couldn't see the blonde
That's
bit.
A bit like you, really. You've got balayage.
Yeah.
Because you've got
skin and grey. Yeah.
Like a badger.
Yeah.
Like
a bald badger,
A Whitstable hairdresser, he said, oh, yeah, we'll get you blonde jewels overnight. We'll strip it all with Head and Shoulders, and then we'll put bleach on it. And my hair would have just been like straw. So, of course, the boy was supernatural.
You could have had mud.
I could have a what?
You would have had mine. You could have had my
Your hair. Straw hair.
No, you could have...
I could have gone bald.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not sure my new husband would like it. It would suit me. I'd look fabulous with bald hair, of course, because it shows your eyes off, doesn't it, when you've got no hair?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the team at Supernatural and Barnes, and they're in Barnes High Street, which is...
Barnes in West London?
Yeah, I go every 3 weeks. It's a 4-hour round trip. They're worth it, I'm telling you. They're worth it. So... But not only that, I see Mohammed, my homeopath, at the same time.
Where's he? Cairo?
Bushy Park. Bushy Park. Right. 20 minutes away from Barnes. So it all worked out as if by magic. Like, homeopath treats me for the AstraZeneca, and then I go 20 minutes, hair. Usually have a little lunch. So Bushy Park is lovely, actually, where Mohammed
is. Bushy what?
Park.
All right.
Yeah. Talking about my bush.
Yeah.
The Green Party are helping me to make it the triangle at the top of my road, so to speak. We've got gentlemen in the studio today.
A triangular bush, Oliver. Okay.
We've got Oliver in the studio from Print Fab. You can follow them, PRIN Fab. Bit like my hairdresser. But
he's nothing like your hairdresser.
No. The fabric.
He's never been to Barnes.
The fabric. Yeah. But what I'm saying about Barnes is it's so genteel, like everyone is very polite.
Now, you were telling us about...
All the yummy mummies.
You were telling us about the bush at the top of your triangle.
Yeah, so the Green Party are going to help me make it into a sacred place so that the council can't chop the bush down anymore. This is a buckthorn bush, Oliver, that was the biggest roost for starlings and sparrows
and weasels.
So there are starlings and weasels.
Starling is not a dictator. It's not starling.
We're still talking about the bush.
Yeah. Largest roost in Kent for starlings and sparrows, and as Paul aptly says, the weasels in there, and foxes, and a nightingale. And what did Canterbury Council do, who've got no money? They decided to cut this bush that's been there probably hundreds of years down in the middle of nesting season, and my friend, who's a bird watcher, goes there every day, saw all the birds screaming and rushing out as this great big tractor just cut it down. And this is on a triangle. It's all cordoned off. Nobody drives on it or anything. It's just a place of beauty. At the end of my road.
It's now skinhead.
It's now scrub. It's just scrub. And they'll never get the diversity back again. You can't just plant 100-year-old buckthorn bush. So it's really sad. So the Greens are going to help me.
I know.
Which is why I put their board up. While I'm moaning about the council... Sorry, do you want to get a word in?
No, don't worry.
While I was moaning about the council, of course, they're on strike and they didn't collect my rubbish. So we put the rubbish out diligently today. We've got the green bin that we pay extra for. It costs us... I don't know how much it costs because the new husband pays it, but it's a lot of money. It's extra for your garden waste. So we put that out. Then we've got a bloody paper bin... And then we've got a can and plastic bin, and then we've got the food caddy. Now, in this weather, you don't want to mess with the food caddy because little maggots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just warm summer. You don't do it. So I'm afraid the food caddy has all been in a bin.
Yeah, hold on. You're missing an opportunity.
Which I'll probably get.
You're missing an opportunity here.
What, sell my maggots?
Yeah, you live by the sea. You live by the sea. If you've got a bucket full of maggots, mate, they're worth money.
Well... If Bill Gates has his way, we'll all be people will be bartering for my maggots to eat them, won't they? When they stop you eating cow and meat and things instead of his soy.
I think you're more likely to sell it as fish bait, if I'm really honest.
They're so small. Would it get a fish?
Well, that's what you use when you're fishing, don't you?
Well, I was swimming in the sea last night. I had a lovely swim, but you know, when you're swimming, I brushed up against two jellyfish.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't get stung.
Are they all right?
I didn't get stung. I looked, and they were the white ones, so they don't really sting.
All right.
But
why didn't you brush up against them?
Well, no, they brushed up against me. I was just doing my length,
okay.
From groin to groin, as it were.
Yeah, okay.
And you feel this, like, rubbery bit brush you, and then you look, and there's a little white jellyfish there.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, so the council, thank you, Kaneko, whoever they're called, has not collected our rubbish, and they're on strike. Are they your way on strike?
No, they collected my rubbish yesterday.
Have they?
Yeah.
I might bring mine round when I see you on Friday.
Yeah, right.
Because it's piling up.
Okay, right, let's do a tweet.
Okay, well, Twitter was busy, wasn't it? We've got Marsh Networking coming up.
All right.
I don't like being told what to do, can you tell?
Do a tweet, so she reads an email.
So this is a breakfast networking. It's at the Base Point in Folkestone. At the Shearway Business Park, and it's from 7:45 to 9 a.m. on the 18th of July. So that's a diary date for next week, I believe.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, so you can go to that, have a cup of coffee, have your breakfast, and then tune in here, 1 p.m. And then there's another one, which is the East Sussex one, and that's at the Pet Village Hall, P-E-T-T, at 10:30 a.m. on the 1st of August. You can book now, marshnetwork.co.uk. That's a good one. And yes, Twitter has been busy. I was going to say, we ought to say who our guests are, because you never do that at the beginning.
No.
I can't wait when you go on holiday. I'm just going to do that. First thing I do is introduce my guest.
It drives me mad. I go away, and she does the show on her own.
And
wherever I am, I normally go to France to see my son and my grandson. Mm. And I sit there, and she comes on air, and I just go ballistic. No, don't press that, you stupid woman. No, don't turn that down. No, it just drives me nuts.
I have great fun when he's away, I tell you.
Yeah.
But we've got Lucy. I haven't got your surname.
Walters.
Lucy Walters. With an L?
Without the L, just with a T.
So Walters.
Lucy Marie Walters.
Marie Walters. And Oliver, some very double-barreled.
Oliver Musto Playfair.
There you are. Mm. Musto Playfair.
Yeah. That's the poshest he's ever spoken,
say it like that, Musto Playfair.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Prinfab, so you can follow them, as I said, I alluded to before, P-R-I-N Fab, and they're going to tell us all about it. And I think they might have bought some samples in, I'm not quite sure, a little box there. And then we've got Emma Appleby, who is going to tell us about her journey. And her Twitter is For Tegan, and it's about her journey for Tegan, her daughter. And she's been on the Jeremy Vine show.
She has, yeah. You have as well, haven't you?
I've been on it, but then he followed me, and now he's blocked me.
Did he follow you on his bike?
No, no, but he's blocked me now, doesn't talk to me anymore.
Yeah, he's
I still copy him in on tweets and things just to annoy him.
I've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors.
Oh, what are they saying? Are they surveying?
They said, we look forward to tuning into the Business Bunker Show today for Paul and Jules, so thank you.
Have they got a click wheel, do you think?
I'm sure they probably have. They're surveyors, aren't they?
Yeah, we used to do that at my school. Go around the playground measuring the click wheel. Yeah, I've never used one since. I'm not sure what the point of that was. I guess if you're going to be a surveyor, it was useful.
Well, when you went to school in 1943, yeah, it was probably. But these days, they've probably got an electronic thing, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Chips and Dinks are listening in. They say it's a rare treat. And I'm sure they're chipping and dinking as well while they listen, because they've got that lovely little garage, haven't they?
I have.
Yeah, quite hard to reverse out of their drive, I found. You have to keep your faculties about you.
Yeah, well, they repair chips and dinks, don't they? Well, so it's
best to have them done before.
Yeah,
or
so you have your car fixed and then try and back out and do it again.
That's probably why they do it.
Yeah. No, they're brilliant. Bev and Tony are
fantastic.
They
are brilliant. Yeah. And actually, they helped me get out of the drive. They were very good.
Yeah. Kim Stevens, Karen Kent, good afternoon. Happy Tuesday. I would appreciate a really loud, I'll try and do it loud, Kim, Business Bunker shout-out today, please, for caringkent.co.uk, providing home care and support to families and individuals in Kent. Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on Ashford, which is 01233 619 530. 01233 619 530, if you'd like some home care help from Caring Kent.
Yeah, I bet she's... how's your care going for your mum? Yeah. Are they coming?
Yeah.
Do they come too late to help her?
Yeah.
Because really, everybody wants it at what time? 9? 8?
This is the problem. And of course, I've got a great deal of sympathy for them. It's not entirely their fault. Because, as we all know, the roads of Kent are a nightmare at the moment. There's roadworks everywhere, potholes everywhere. And of course, when you're looking after older people, you never know, you know, the visit they do before they come to my mum, you don't know what's... They can't just leave someone if they're not feeling well or anything like that. So it's always not exactly easy.
And a shortage of staff. I was talking about staff. I went for a lovely lunch yesterday with my new husband. We decided to play hooky yesterday. So we went out for lunch to a local Tankerton restaurant. It's a new restaurant. It's independent, which I like. And it's called Land and Sea. See what they did there?
All right.
And they are desperately looking for staff, but they really need a chef. They've got a really good chef there.
Good luck with that.
I know, but they do need a chef. And I'm just going to read out their number, but they're in Tankerton Road, which is just near Whitstable. The website is landandseatankerton.com, and their number is 01227, that's the Whitstable code, 668098. They're looking for staff, waiting staff, obviously, but also a couple of chefs. But I had lobster.
Mm-hmm.
I had lobster. And I had little prawns. It's very Vietnamese. Little prawns that you eat the whole thing. So they're fried so much with like a sort of an Asian sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Crispy. So crispy, just eat the whole thing. Shrimp. So you don't have to bother peeling them.
Shrimp,
maybe.
Mm-hmm. They're tiny.
Yeah, they're tiny. And you eat the whole thing.
You just told me that 3 times.
Like a crisp. Have you ever done that?
Have I ever eaten a whole prawn? No, I've eaten a whole scorpion. I've eaten a whole...
Yeah, I've had a...
Termite. I've eaten...
You've had a Megami worm.
Megami worm, yeah.
What's it called?
Malpani worm. I had two.
Did you?
Yeah. You had to have two to get your dinner free in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Most people went for one and then threw up. Because they never got to the second. Yeah. I actually did the two to get a free meal, which I then couldn't eat because I felt sick.
Well, I had one and I got a certificate.
You got a certificate what?
Certificate.
Yeah, right, okay.
But I didn't feel sick at all.
Yeah.
It was quite a nice worm, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it again, though.
No. Is that like normal cuisine in Zimbabwe, or is that like
it's a thing.
Sort of jungle challenge sort of thing?
It's a native food in that part of Africa. And it's quite a common food locally. And the
Black, wiggly things.
Were you interrupted? And I was just about to tell you what it was, and now I've forgotten.
You can see by finger.
In Australia, it's an Aboriginal food, which is called a witchetty grub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. It's like a big fat caterpillar.
Black.
Yeah. And
I'd rather have a biscuit with you, Oliver.
Yeah, I'd rather just pay the bill rather than trying to get a free bite in a couple of minutes.
I went to an outdoor barbecue in Zimbabwe, and it was just one of those things that said, if you could eat two of these, you can get your meal free, because Westerners just don't like them. It's actually nothing wrong with a taste. It doesn't really, it's a bit like eating snails or whatever. Yeah, it's a similar type of thing, except they didn't put garlic with theirs. It was just barbecued. But it's the thought of it. Most Westerners don't like the thought of it, and it is a bit squishy.
Yeah. I can't really remember. I've had lots of drink and wine. It's the only way to do it, really.
But we had roast locusts as well, didn't we, and scorpion.
Yeah.
And,
they were on the radio thing, or the TV thing. What's it called? Jungle.
Yeah, no, it was Bush Tucker Trial.
Yeah. But they're on Celebrity, all that. They're all on their Celebrity shows now, aren't they? Those insect things, eating insects.
Well, that's where it came from. It was a young lad that was...
What was his name?
I can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
It was a long time ago
we ate them.
He produced the... Get Me Out of It. So I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here.
I don't watch it.
And the Bush Tucker Trials.
Yeah.
Well, he invented a game that had all these foods in it that you could eat. And it was all sponsored by ITV or whatever.
Matt Hancock went on it and got paid.
But he didn't come on the radio show and eat the stuff with
us. No, he didn't. We didn't invite him.
Yeah.
So we've got also new drone pictures. We haven't heard from our drone Twitter people lately.
Arrogant drones. No, we haven't. Where have you got to?
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they say new drone... Well, this isn't them. New drone pictures have revealed the progress made on a new multi-million pound business park project. Did you know
Sheerness,
that?
Sheerness, yeah.
Yes.
I drove past it yesterday.
Well, it's about time Sheerness got a bit of oomph. The six-acre site, Sheppey's first commercial hub, is being built in a field along the A249 opposite Neat's Court by Queenborough-based company Medichem, I guess it is, properties, which was founded by self-made millionaire Tom Allsworth. So what is it going to be?
It's
going to be lots of different things.
Well, it actually looks like a warehouse when you drive past it, but apparently it's a big office block.
Which still annoys me, because, we've got Estuary View, so, Lucy, so you come in and we've got the big Estuary View doctors. This is like the best location. You can see the estuary to Sheppey. It's quite high.
Yeah.
There. And what have they done? They've built supermarkets. So, Pets at Home, Halfords, M&S, a doctor's surgery, and now, loads of warehouse things. That area should have been a big, beautiful hotel with a spa or something. It's just got a beautiful view. It's such a shame. And the traffic now coming into Whitsworth, have you noticed that, Lucy?
Yeah, when you come off the motorway, it's always queued up.
Just unbelievable now. To get home takes me, as soon as I get to the Whitsworth approach, takes me sometimes 40 minutes to get to my house.
Yeah.
Mad.
Bonkers. Well, I think we need more warehouses. There's a real shortage of warehouses at the moment.
Well, I have one in Doddington.
I don't want one where I live.
There you go. See?
Well, if there were, it'd be great.
It's the planning. This is the most beautiful area, high up with these beautiful sea views, and nobody's ever going to see them because they just could turn them into warehouses.
Oliver's absolutely right, though. There's a massive shortage of industrial units and warehouse space in Kent. There just is.
But there are places to do them. There are.
No, there aren't, because they aren't building them anywhere.
Well, they're building loads where I live.
Well, that's good, because we need them.
We had to wait a couple of years. It really stopped the business from growing.
There's loads empty down my way. Come and see us.
No, but we're based in Faversham, so all our team's in Faversham.
Yeah, but it's not very far. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know Mallard's Farm in Faversham? My favourite farm shop. Just on the, is it Waterham Road? Waterham Road, is it? As you come into Whitstable, you turn left.
Oh, I see.
They've got all the cherry signs.
Welcome to the Whitstable Show.
Yeah.
Here on
Fabulous farm shop. So you've got Alistair there. He knows his stuff and he grows all his own potatoes. The Wiltshire potatoes are to die for. All his own fruit.
Yeah,
Mallard's Farm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, enough of that.
Mallard's Farm.
I want to play some cheesy tunage.
Oh, what you got?
Well, you got to get this in one.
Who's first of our guests?
I told you, she never listens.
So it's alluding to our first guest. That's my clue.
Yeah, and our first guest is...
Emma.
Yeah, I see you had a 50-50 shot there, didn't you?
Mother of Tegan.
Yeah, it is Emma. Yeah. It's our first guest.
Yeah.
And this cheesy tunage is for that.
Is it well known? Oh, Beatles. Yeah. Not great song. I love this song. You know, I need someone. Younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find the gentle mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being mine.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Well, welcome back. That was Help, obviously, the Beatles.
Great song.
Bit of cheesy tune in.
They were short in those days, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
How many minutes was that?
It was 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah, lovely short little jingly tunes.
Yeah. And Help. And it's appropriate because we're going to now talk to Emma Appleby, about her campaign. She's campaigning on behalf of her daughter, Tegan. This is going to get a bit emotional, so bear with us. So, Emma, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us your story and tell us about Tegan?
Okay. So Tegan is nearly 14. Mm-hmm. She's been in the news quite a lot over the last 5 years.
Right.
She's
a celebrity.
She suffers with a severe case of epilepsy.
Mm.
And she can seizure up to 300 times a day.
Good grief.
And we've tried everything over the years since the age of 4 when she started seizuring.
Hmm.
She's tried 15 different anti-epileptic medications.
Can I just ask, I mean, that is mind-boggling, that amount of seizures.
Hmm.
How does that manifest itself, each of those seizures?
They all present differently, right. But they end up damaging her, like she loses her skills.
Right.
She's got a disability, so she's got a chromosome disorder.
Yeah.
So the skills she has got are very limited anyway. She's like a baby. She doesn't talk.
Yeah.
She doesn't communicate. She tries to walk, but she's mainly wheelchair bound.
Right.
And every seizure she has, she just ends up kind of regressing.
Right.
In 2018, she hit the lowest. She was seizuring literally 300 times every day.
God. Wow. So she cannot be left alone.
No. She has to have 24/7 care.
Yeah.
And we were at school calling an ambulance about three times a week. She was basically spending her time in hospital. And it got to the point where emergency medication they were giving her wasn't working.
Hmm.
She ended up going into intensive care in London in a coma. And she was in and out of intensive care for 2.5 months in London.
Wow.
And that's when medical cannabis came into the equation. So it was legal.
Sorry to interrupt. How did you find out about that?
So obviously we tried everything.
Yeah, of course.
So we had nothing left to try. We'd had surgery. We'd done all the medications available.
So you'd had surgery her brain?
No, she had a VNS implanted.
Which is?
A vagal nerve stimulator.
Okay.
So it's a bit like a pacemaker. It's put in the chest. Mm. And then every time she has a seizure, it's supposed to interrupt the signal and stop the seizure.
Right, okay.
It doesn't work.
It didn't work.
She still has it because we don't know if it's doing anything.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It didn't work enough at the time.
Yeah.
And then we had seen in the media of Pamela Deacon and Alfred Ingley. He was getting her medical cannabis and it had changed his life.
And what was he getting it for?
He's got a chromosome disorder as well.
So similar.
He has epilepsy.
Hmm.
And he's basically seizure-free now on this medication.
Wow.
Mm. So I was fighting for it in 2018.
Because these kind of things get a bit confused, don't they, with people that don't know. It is a legal...
It is now legal, yes.
It's a legal drug that you can take in the UK.
On November 2018, it was legalised.
Yeah.
And Tegan was in intensive care at the time.
Mm.
And the company that made a product called Epidiolex, which is provided by the NHS, which is just a pure CBD isolate, was given to Tegan on the 2nd of November. It's brought to her bedside. She was the first child in Kent to get this medication.
And how did Tegan react to that?
Very well.
Yeah.
Initially, she did really well. That was November. We came out of hospital 4 weeks later.
Wow.
And then in February, she started seizuring quite violently again.
Mm.
And that's when I asked if they could prescribe full extract cannabis oil, which means it contains THC.
Yeah.
And that's where they said, no, we can't prescribe that.
Wow.
Even though, again, it's legal. But they
and what was their reason for not being able to prescribe it?
Because the medication isn't licensed. It's not had trials made on it.
Right.
But there's a lot of medications Tegan's been on, and other children that aren't licensed and haven't had trials.
Exactly.
Right. Two of her rescue medications aren't licensed, but she still has them.
So what do you think the reason for that is? Do you have any feelings about that?
I think it's partly money. Mm. I also...
Is it expensive?
It costs me about £2,000 a month.
Good grief.
To keep her at the moment.
So you're buying it yourself at the moment?
So we get it prescribed privately.
Right.
For private doctors.
So then you're paying the private doctor as well for the
private
prescription.
Doctor, the private importer and the private pharmacy.
Crazy.
Wow. So I've been doing it since 2019. April 2019 was my first batch, and it's now, in July 2023.
Mm. Good grief.
I fundraise £2,000 a month.
Right.
I spend my life working and fundraising and looking after Tegan.
Yeah, I can imagine. Just so that we understand this, on this particular medication, is it something she would take every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
And so what do you see the benefits of this?
She's a different child.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're seeing a huge benefit, which is why you're...
She still has seizures. She's never going to be seizure-free.
Yeah.
We can accept that, but it's her quality of life.
Yeah. Right.
And in 2018, she had no quality of life. Right. I nearly lost her.
Right.
It was that, like...
Right.
So, it is like, it's imperative that she has it.
Sure.
But obviously with lockdown, so in the first lockdown, we ran out of money and ran out of oil. And within 2 weeks, she's back in intensive care.
Right.
In the coma, fighting for her life again.
Are you able to get it? Where are you getting it from?
We get hers from Israel and Holland.
Okay.
Okay.
Not America then?
No.
Because America would be FDA.
It's all to do with licensing and importing and that kind of thing. We could only get it at the moment.
So have you ever, I know it seems mad, but have you ever thought about living in Holland?
I could, but it's like rooting everything. Like, my partner's got children and...
Yeah.
At the end of the day, why should I have to move country where medication is legal?
It doesn't necessarily mean that you get the medicine just because you live there as well. You know, it all depends on how their health systems work in the country that you move to.
Another big part of this is there are 3 children in the UK that get this medication prescribed by the NHS already.
Right.
And that's my biggest argument. Why are those 3 children's lives more important than my daughter's?
It makes no sense, doesn't it? And not only at that level, I mean, we all know that the NHS moans all the time about money, but, you know, there's a lot of stupidity that goes on with this as well, and poor management, in that you've just identified that when she's not able to access the medication, she ends up in hospital.
Which costs
a lot of money.
And the ambulance.
The medications, the bed and intensive care, the nurses, the doctors, she's probably costing them more by not having the medication.
It's odd. Sometimes you just sit there and think, I just do not understand the mentality. You know, maybe there's something we don't understand about it, I don't know. But there's
always been this thing, hasn't there? I had to buy my own thyroid meds because I take something that they don't like, that's not patented, similar. And it was costing me a lot of money, and now I get it on the NHS, but I had to fight and fight and fight.
I think if it was called cannabis oil, it would be very different, but because it's known as cannabis oil, there's such a stigma around that name.
You're absolutely right, which is why I mentioned right up front about it, because that is the thing that, you know, it's why I avoided everything I could to do with drugs on the cheesy tunage, because that was the obvious thing, but... It's, you know, just because it's cannabis doesn't, you know...
It's medicinal cannabis, that's the difference, isn't it?
But the root of all of those products are things like hemp and marijuana. And hemp, you make rope out of it. It's not just a drug. It's one of those multi-purpose plants that does lots of different things.
But going back to that, I mean, this is strange, but where I live, we have a load of people that smoke dope all the time. There's the skate park there. And
in a living room.
They are, at the skate park, they are high all the time on skunk.
Street cannabis.
Which is what I wanted to ask
cannabis
you.
Vegans on.
Yeah.
So street cannabis has got a really high THC level and a low CBD level.
Because they're doing... skunk, can't they?
Yeah.
Which is awful.
It's just how it's made.
Yeah.
So Tegan's on the opposite. She has a very low THC and a very high CBD.
Yeah.
Which is, it's very different.
And it's the CBD that's licensed, or not licensed, but illegal to take. Yeah. Okay. So, this is the situation. The cannabis oil helps her enormously.
Keeps her alive.
It saves us, the taxpayer, money. For having to keep transporting her to hospital and treating her in hospital, but currently the NHS can't supply it or refuse to supply it, although they do supply it to some people.
So there's three others in England.
Two in Ireland and one in England.
Okay, and you're presumably in contact with them.
Mm.
And they get it and you don't.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you nick some of this?
Well, it seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And the person, the doctor that's prescribing it for you, the private doctor, is he a neurologist or
no.
What is he?
He's a doctor of pain, but he's actually retiring in 2 weeks' time.
So he's a pain doctor. Right. Okay.
There's only one paediatric neurologist in the UK privately that's prescribing, but his books are closed.
Right.
So at the moment, I don't have a doctor to prescribe for her. Right. But we're trying to find a doctor to prescribe.
So where do these others in Ireland and
it's quite complicated. They get theirs through their GP, but it's shared care. So I'm not really sure exactly who prescribes for them, but they get it through their GP.
Right.
So GPs are allowed to prescribe it?
Under shared care with somebody that's on the specialist register, yes.
Right. And yet you can't get it?
No.
Yeah, I know. With my thyroid meds, I had to write a very long email to my doctor because there's only one doctor that would give them to me on the National Health, and he's up north.
Mm.
And she said, I can't send you to him, he's out of your area. And I wrote a very long letter, and I went to see him, and he prescribed it for me. But like you, I was paying before that.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wrong isn't a good enough word in my opinion.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They're basically signing my daughter's death certificate while not prescribing for her.
Yeah. Mm.
So what are you going to do in 2 weeks if you can't get
I have no idea. I'm praying. People are working behind the scenes, people that are working a part of our team. There's other children in the situation, not just Tegan, there's other kids.
Yeah, cool. There must be 100.
There's about 40 children that are going to suffer from this doctor retiring, and there are people working behind the scenes to find another doctor, anybody that can prescribe. So they are working really hard, and I'm keeping everything crossed, something happens.
And have you talked to your MP?
My
MP, she's good. She does what she can, but there's only so much she can do.
Yeah.
The thing is, Parliament know who I am. The government know me. Ms. Fatigue has spoken about in Parliament many times. They know the situation we're in. We were in the media again 2 weeks ago, and they said then that they were going to get in touch and sort something, and they haven't. So
it's awful that you have to do, aside from looking after Tegan, you have to do all this fighting as well, which is exhausting. And you're a full-time carer, and then you're having to fundraise. So that, it's exhausting.
It's my life, it's all I know, you know. I've had her from
14 years.
I've fought for her, and I work because I have to have time to be Emma rather than just Tegan's mum. And then fundraising is just, the last 5 years it's been everything I do. My weekends, I spend planning for a boot fair and doing a boot fair on a Sunday. But I've run out of fundraising ideas. I've exhausted my village, bless them. They've been amazing over the last 5 years. But I'm at the point now where I don't know where else to turn. I've run out of fundraising ideas.
So this comes from Israel or Holland, and your GP doesn't seem to be able to do anything.
He can't do anything.
Sourcing it from overseas, but I'm assuming you can't just order it yourself.
You have to have a prescription. And it has to be imported by an import company.
A special company,
then you have to pay the import tax as well, don't you? Because I had to. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay. I mean, we've got two things here going on, haven't we? Which is, well, three things. You now need a GP to or a doctor to prescribe it. You need the funds to be able to pay for it. And we also need to find out why the NHS are still refusing to supply it. So we've got three things happening. So what is it that you're doing at the moment? You've got a fundraiser going?
I have got a fundraiser, on Tegan's social media pages.
Right, okay.
There's a GoFundMe on there.
Right. So you've got a fund... We'll talk about the fundraiser in a minute. So all you lovely people out there can donate a few quid to that, and we'll give you the link to do it. The link is on the radio website, and it will be there forever, so you can follow that. But of course... obviously, you need. We now need someone out there that can prescribe. Is there? Could it be any GP or any doctor, or is it has to have some specialist?
I think at the moment they're saying they have to be on a specialist register, so they have to be a neuro of some kind.
Right.
But I'm at the point now where I'm telling any doctor that I speak to, if you write me a prescription, I can then fight the next battle.
Right.
Because until I get that prescription,
you need that.
I can't fight the next bit.
Right. So if you get a prescription, is that just for one dose or?
Yeah.
Okay. And a dose lasts how long?
It depends how much they prescribe.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
No, but one bottle is 10 mils.
Right.
It's £165, I think.
Right.
And it lasts 2 days.
2 days. Okay.
And she needs it for life.
Every day,
Yeah, exactly.
So, if there's a doctor out there, we've got, in a couple of weeks' time, I've got a paediatrician coming on, so I'll ask her. If there's a doctor out there listening and you want to help, please get in touch with Emma. All the details can be found on the Kimberley's Radio website, so if you want any of those contact details, they're there. Please donate to the fundraiser, and we'll give you the link for that in a moment. But the other thing is there anything we can do to try and put pressure on the government or the NHS to actually do something about this?
At the moment, I don't know.
Right.
It's just keeping her story going round in
current.
Because, you know, in 2018, when she was... 2019, sorry, when she was in the media quite a lot, the story was really popular, but now it's backed off, but everyone thinks she's better, and she's not.
Yeah, they forget.
They know better situation.
Exactly, and your life is exactly the same on hold.
I'm where I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We have no money, no doctor to prescribe, and Tegan's going to end up back.
So this doctor that's retiring, what has he said? No help?
No.
He can't help you?
No, he's got to retire. I think a lot of it is down to issues he suffered being a prescriber.
Yeah,
had a lot of backlash from other people.
Yeah,
and I think he's just gone, you know what, I can't do this anymore.
I can't stand the hassle. Yeah.
Well, what would be the sort of backlash that this guy would get for?
Because
being threatened with being struck off.
Yeah, it's an unlicensed medication. Mm. Getting the stigma around the whole cannabis situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yeah, because I think a lot of it's political.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You have to be careful what I say, but a lot of it is,
of course,
down to who owns what and who puts
money
into what.
It's the patent. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's, you've kind of half asked the question that I was going to ask anyway, which is, you know, what's stopping it being licensed?
People that have got their fingers in lots of pies.
Don't want it. Okay.
Because if it's licensed, it'll then take away the money going into
other things. All the meds that are used for convulsions and
There's a medication the NHS prescribe for epilepsy,
which doesn't work.
Does work for some, just for fatigue, and that's the medication that will suffer if for extract.
If everybody gets it's awful. It's
a
shocking.
Shame that my life depends on people's
money,
earnings and stuff. Once you start to license medicines, after a period of time, they then become generic medicines that other people can replicate as well. So you lose what would be the trademark or copyright to that product. Terrible, terrible, terrible situation. Give us a shout out for the fundraiser where people could go to donate some money to help with this.
So on all of Tegan's social media is Help for Tegan on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's For Tegan on Twitter and Help for Tegan on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's all in there.
There's a link to the Facebook page. Well, there's a link to all of them, but there's a link to the Facebook page where you can directly donate on the Kempis Radio website, and that will be there for the rest of eternity. So it's just how the archive works.
We're looking for people that would like to do events and hold events to sponsor Tegan.
Okay.
I hope that's okay as well.
So let's give that a shout out. Anybody that's going to hold an event and wants to raise some money for a good cause, do think about Tegan and her mum and stepdad, and think about donating to that. They can get hold of you if they want to find out more details, so you get hold of Emma.
Facebook page, my email and stuff,
Okay. So anything you're doing that's raising a bit of money, just throw a bit Emma's way. She'll be very grateful for that.
You were saying, you were saying that when you were bringing some in before, you got stopped at customs, and you eventually got it days later.
Yeah, 2019, I took the BBC with me to Holland.
Right.
So film crew.
Yeah. And I got a prescription out there from a Dutch doctor.
Right.
Took it to the pharmacy, picked up 4.5 grams worth of medication.
Yeah.
Brought it back, and obviously they knew I was coming back with it, and they stopped me at customs. But I did that for a reason. A lot of people were like, "Oh, why did you?"
You did it to highlight.
Exactly. Mm. People like you were silly for going. What?
No, you weren't. You were.
Like, no, I've done this.
Doing your best
to prove that I'm being forced to break the law.
Yeah.
To keep my daughter alive.
But also, they were almost making an example of
they
you.
Did exactly.
Weren't
that.
They?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
they don't want you to have it.
So I came back on the Saturday, and then the Monday it was an urgent question in Parliament, and then I got the medication returned to me on the Saturday.
Right.
Is this something you could do again on a very practical basis in sort of 2 weeks' time?
I'd have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that is a solution.
I was going to say, 5 years down the line, I'm exactly right.
But you have to have money. Travel costs money. Yeah. Mm. You've got to have accommodation and you've got to, you know, fuel or however you get there.
Well, the fundraiser hopefully will help with that. We have people donating to the fundraiser. Emma has three levels of problem here. Yeah. She's got her day-to-day problem of how she keeps this going. She's got a financial problem.
Yeah.
And then overlaid on all of that is what the hell's going on in terms of the future, and not just for Emma and Tegan, but for anybody else that finds themselves in this position, and there will be other children in this position.
I really thought 5 years later I wouldn't be in a situation.
Mm. No,
it's
exhausting.
A year or so it would have been sorted.
Yeah. And the thing is that these more natural products are all there.
Mm.
It's just they are suppressed by pharma, and this is, you know, we have to be careful what we say here, because we've got, you know, Ofcom.
At the end of the day, it's medication to plant.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I was hearing this about aspirin. You know, aspirin is a plant. I can't remember the name of it, but Wayne Cunnington's listened. He can Google it. And what pharma have done is, rather than give you the whole herb, which is what a herbalist would give you, they've taken out just a part of the plant to give you aspirin.
That's what Papra does every dialect.
But they don't give you the whole thing. CBD.
Well, nowadays, I mean, most medicines are derived from natural plants, but they synthetically make the thing that is in the plant.
So basically, the Epidiolex is pure CBD isolate, and they've added bits and pieces and some syrup and some strawberry flavouring to make it a medication. And it's not. Cannabis is not a medication like that. It's to be used as it is. You don't have to change it around.
Exactly, in its natural state. But then in its natural state doesn't make the money that or the control. It's more about the control, isn't it?
Okay. So, Emma, thank you for sharing the story. And we wish you continued success with doing what you're doing. We will try to publicise that as much as possible at every level. Yeah, we'll try and find you a doctor. We'll try and find you some donations. And we'll try and put some pressure on the powers that be to ask why this is the situation and why they can't do something about it.
And don't hedge your bets for an answer. This is the trouble.
Well, this is a problem, I mean, you know.
Because, as you say, it is political. Yeah. It's about money, and it's wrong.
But if it's one of their children, it'd be sorted straight away.
I don't want to get into a whole rant about this, but, you know, 25 years ago, I was employed by an NHS trust as a management consultant to write a report on why their things were going wrong. And I spent 6 months in that NHS trust looking at all their processes, all their procedures and all their management. And it was rubbish. Yeah. The whole thing is so badly designed, it's unbelievable. And I wrote a massive report, which they paid me a huge amount of money to do. And 25 years later, they are still doing the same thing.
Exactly.
They still haven't adopted it, and the waste is unbelievable. And you know, just the poor thinking that says, "Oh, well, we can't afford the medicines." No, but you can afford to send an ambulance three times a week, and take up a
intensive
bed, and then put some medicines that don't work into. You know, that all costs money. When are you going to do a cost benefit analysis that says actually we'd be better off doing it this way and giving Tegan a quality of life into the bargain?
I don't think that pharma has ever been so badly thought of as it is at the moment. You know, it's all about money, and I think a lot of us have woken up to that fact, you know, recently. Who's the health minister now? I've lost track. It's not Matt Hancock anymore.
No, thank goodness.
But I'm taking, you know, taking it that your MP has. Have you ever got to
Steve Barclay, isn't it?
Forget him. Yeah. But Ombudsman, have you ever contacted Ombudsman? Because I'm asking my MP to contact the Ombudsman, and I think they have to do that. I'll send you some stuff after the show.
Thank you.
Emma, thank you for sharing your story with us, and we're rooting for you, and we hope you get a solution to this, both short-term, medium-term, and obviously long-term, and do send all of our love and best wishes to Tegan too.
Thank you.
To stay with us for the rest of the show, Emma Appleby for Tegan.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Wayne Cunnington, who's listening in, and he says he's tweeted a very lovely doctor who's on the Twitter at Cartland David. Is a chap that I've spoken to a lot. He's a really, really lovely doctor, and he says, "Can you help Cartland David as Tegan needs prescriptions, but her doctor is unable to fulfil? Thank you. Very interesting show today, guys, and wishing all the best for Tegan." So let's see if David Cartland can do anything.
We do have a few doctors that follow the show for some bizarre reason. They probably think we need medical help, but maybe one of them will come up with something.
It's just very frustrating and exhausting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Neville Gaunt has tweeted, "It's Business Bunker Day." Yes, I know. Thank you, Neville. What else have we got? Sarah Marsh Collins, thought-provoking and inspiring topics on the Business Bunker. Also, medical cannabis for epilepsy treatment is incredibly important. Also, waiting to hear about eco-printed fabrics.
Yeah.
That'll be you lot.
Yeah.
So thank you. So that's Sarah Marsh Collins. Business Awards Kent, big congratulations to Creative Digital Innovation finalists, UK Game Base. Hello Sideways and the JT Group. They're all finalists in the Maidstone Business Awards, which are being presented in November, I do believe. Well, I know because I'm presenting them.
I was talking about earlier on, just had a tweet. I was talking about bartering systems because somebody was saying that they would barter for my maggots in the rubbish.
All right.
And I said, in Whitstable, we used to have a bartering system where no money changed hands at all. It's called yawls. The boats are yawls.
Yeah, yeah.
Y-A-W-L-S. I got my house rewired and no money changes hands, so you swap yawls. So you might have 100 yawls or 50 yawls. They don't really exist. But then you offer something in return. So I would do babysitting or I would do yoga. I was a yoga teacher, so I'd teach people yoga. And I got my house rewired for it. It's a great barter system.
Yeah, but that is how money was invented.
Yes.
Because people used to do jobs for each other, and which was great until you didn't need your house rewired.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've already had it done.
You always need something in life.
Yeah, so some smart person went, tell you what, instead of just exchanging jobs, if we make a little token, yeah, and let's call it a pound, shall we? We'll call it a pound, and if we make a pound so that you can give it to whatever you want and get whatever service you want from them, do you see?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why we have money.
Yeah, although I use cash all the time now. I'm bringing it back slowly. But people need to start using cash.
iTrust Assurance have asked for a Business Bunker shout-out. They're the speak-up specialists and the whistleblowing app. Do give them a follow on Twitter. What else have we got? Oh, this is interesting, this. DEFY, I think that's how you pronounce it, D-E-F-Y. It's a not-for-profit app. And they say, hi, we'd love a shout-out. We'd love you to mention us. We're a not-for-profit map app. That's not easy to say.
Yeah.
Called DEFY, D-E-F-Y.
Yeah, I've been following them for a while. It's very interesting.
It works by showing users independent shops, cafes, bars, restaurants by proximity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
So if you're out and about and you've got the app on your phone and you open your phone, it'll go, there's an independent cafe over there or an independent restaurant.
It makes my blood boil when people come to Whitstable and they go, we love all the independent shops, love all the shops, we love Whitstable.
Where's Starbucks?
And then they walk along the beach with a Starbucks whatever.
Yeah.
And we've got the best independent cafes ever with the best homemade cakes that, you know.
In Whitstable, not in Canterbury, because they're in Canterbury.
Starbucks.
No, the best independent coffee and cakes are in Canterbury.
Are they?
Yes.
You're back then, are you?
Yeah, we're back. We're back and open.
And are you making cakes for them?
Yeah, I'm going straight from here to bake a few brownies.
Lovely, good for you.
Anyway, shall I finish off on this tweet?
Yeah, the indie map. Yeah.
So it's for independent shops, cafes, bars, restaurants, by proximity, and it gives you access to exclusive offers as well. And they say it's entirely free for the cafes to be registered on there.
It's
the
great.
Shops.
I was at my, I mentioned it earlier, I was at my lovely
Hold on. You can follow them on Twitter at DEFY Map, DEFYMAPP, DEFY Map.
I wonder what DEFY stands for. We'll have to ask them.
Yeah.
But did you read out their website? So it's DEFY Map with two P's, MAPP.com. Defy. Maybe it's Defy Map. You never know.
You can't get a staff, can you?
Because I'm reading.
You can't get a staff.
I'm reading.
She ignores me. It's worse.
Well, I try.
It's worse than working with your mum. It really is.
I try and ignore him, Lucy, but, you know. So it could be Defy Map. You never know.
Yeah.
And they'd be great for all the local pubs, because I love a free house, Oliver. Mm. I do love a free house. I don't like everything.
She can't pass one.
No, I like it. Richard Shawney, retail mentor, he's a buddy of ours and supports independent businesses.
Mm.
And he says, in Soham, we had a bakery, a butcher and a greengrocer. Asda arrived and now they've all gone.
Mm.
So you must keep supporting your local little shops. We used to have hardware shops. And every time I go to B&Q, I trail up and down and there's never anyone you can ask. We used to have a great hardware shop. You just go in and you get whatever you want from the man there.
We've got a hardware shop in Tenterden called Webbs, and it's a bit like when you go in there, it's a bit like, do you remember Open All Hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy with a brown shop coat. But do you know what? I have never been in there and asked for something that they couldn't supply. The guy toddles off upstairs into the loft and he comes back with a box, blows 14 foot of dust on it, and he'll sell you a left-handed screw for a penny. Yeah.
Or candy.
Yeah. No, and he will. But I've never, ever found anything that they couldn't supply.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So that's why you want to keep your independent shop.
Right. Anyway, well, Chips and Dinks have been on versus what you said earlier about them. Mm. They say, if you ever visit us again, Jules, which we hope you will, we will drive the car out for you.
Oh, yeah. They're so
lovely. We often ask the owner if they would like us to do that, but sometimes suggesting that offends the driver. No, it's Bev, you're on the safe side there. I've seen her driving. It's terrible.
Well, I had gone to the pub as well. Right. They're local.
Tracy Ferguson has been on. Says, hi, everybody.
She's poorly, poor little thing. She's got a swollen throat, she says. Is that sad?
Yeah.
Poor Tracy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Can I read it now?
Go on then.
Are you sure?
Hurry up.
There we are. Do you want to interrupt?
I'm waiting for you.
Okay. Tracy Ferguson says, hi everybody listening live, although I have a painful swollen glands in my neck at the moment.
Tracy.
So a tad deaf affecting my hearing. Well, I hope you get better soon. She said, a great choice of tunage. Looking forward to hearing from all the bunker guests, but especially enjoyed hearing from Emma's interview for Tegan. So there you go.
She also says, Tegan's story is so upsetting and unnecessary. My heart goes out to you and her and your family, Emma. And I have just a small experience, Tracy says, with one of my children, an epilepsy, and I can't even begin to imagine how you cope. I sincerely hope that you get the prescription soon.
Mm.
Makes my blood boil, actually.
Absolutely.
And Samantha Bowen, who is on the Twitter, she is...
I was just replying to her as you read that.
You must be psychic.
Yeah,
she is a special needs mum. She's a museum freelancer. She's a crafter. And she's passionate about sending museums and inclusive play. You can find her on sendinmuseums.org. And she says, thank you for sharing for Tegan's story.
Did you read Tracy's one about Tegan's story so upsetting?
Yes. Do you listen?
I wasn't listening. I turned off. Switched off.
Yeah.
When you started ignoring me, I just ignored you. Yeah.
What's new?
Okay.
It's very hard. In my co-presenter's, whatever you call it, benefit, it's really hard when you're reading stuff and you don't necessarily listen to everything. Do you, Oliver?
Sorry,
so are you?
I like the way you roll.
Yeah. Gratian for Business. Don't miss out on up to 75% relief for qualifying retail, hospitality and leisure businesses. An application to Gratian Borough Council must be completed in order for the relief to be applied to your account. And this is a rate relief scheme, as it says, for retail, hospitality and leisure. You could qualify for retail, hospitality and leisure relief if your business is mainly used as a shop, restaurant, cafe, bar or pub, cinema or music venue, hospitality or leisure business, i.e. a gym, a spa or a hotel. What you'll get, if you're eligible, you get 75% off of your business rates bill for 2023 to the 2024 billing year. If you want to find out if you qualify for this, if you go to www.gov.uk/apply for business, gov.uk/apply for business.
And I just had, I don't know whether I read this out, because I've got a bit of a hangover in my defence. It's fine. You share a bottle of wine. It was organic, and I'm usually fine with organic
this
wine.
This is breakfast, by the way.
Share a bottle of wine with the new husband, and the sun was beating down, and I'd forgotten my hat, and it was really hot and really windy. And you know when you feel a bit mad because of the heat and because of the wind? And I heard myself, having finished the bottle with my new husband, ordering another glass, and that was my downfall. And it was on the house, and then that was the downfall, because then I ordered another one.
She didn't mean to. It was just something.
It was the wind and the sun. And
It was the weather just made her order more booze.
I know.
Anyway, we're going to join the newsroom.
Yeah, what's happening?
When we come back, we're going to talk to Oliver and Lucy. Here we go.